Welcome to the Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we get the opportunity to learn from industry leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today, we have an amazing guest on the show. She's a very successful entrepreneur, has had multiple businesses as a multi-brand franchise owner, has worked in her family business with her father, which I think is absolutely amazing. She is currently a franchise consultant with FranNet and routinely hosts the Atlanta Small Business Network. Leslie Cuban, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nick. It's so great to see you, and I'm honored to have been invited.
I am looking forward to diving in and helping our audience level up. And what a better way to get started than to talk about FranNet. Can you share what FranNet is and what exactly is so special about FranNet?
I would love to. Thank you for asking the question, Nick. My business is helping people become entrepreneurs. And the folks I tend to help, I hear some common themes from them. I hear, I'm looking for more freedom. I'm looking for more control. I'm looking for more wealth in my personal and professional life, and owning a business, being an entrepreneur may be a way to do that. And commonly working with folks who have developed a professional career in a corporate environment, and they've been in the workforce for a while, and now they're ready to take their skills and do it for themselves, but they haven't done it before. So that's why looking to one of the many strong franchised opportunities out there where there's already a business model in place. There's a training track in the beginning and ongoing. There's structure. There's a playbook for how to run that business, but also how to become a business owner. So my business is helping people navigate that learning journey. And really the first responsibility of my role as a franchise consultant is to help someone figure out if they should be pursuing this at this time. And the answer is yes for some people. It's no for others. And we may determine that the timing is better down the road. And so it's really about helping people determine if this is right for them, if they will have their goals met in an affordable and safe way through franchise ownership, and then to choose the right business and get into it for the right reasons and do it in the right way.
Said, what an amazing responsibility. What do you think makes FranNet so special? There are many different franchise consulting networks and organizations. Personally, me being a founder and brand that works with FranNet, I've experienced some pretty special things about FranNet. And I think franchising as a whole really views FranNet as a special organization. You being a consultant with FranNet, why do you think that is?
Yeah, and it's been 23 years. I joined this February will be my 24th anniversary, having my business aligned with FranNet. And I'm very proud of the work that we do. We enjoy a wonderful reputation of really being selective of the franchises that we work with. We work with a smaller number of franchise brands than some of our colleagues in our space. We are known for taking brands through a qualification process. And there are some that we gently and politely say, we don't think you're quite ready for this yet. So that's something that we're very proud of and is important to us, is that we're putting brands in front of our clients who are new to this and they don't know what they don't know. They need the businesses for themselves as well, but we're doing a little bit of quality control on the front end. And so that's important. We largely work with people in our local communities. We see them out to dinner. We see them at the grocery store. And so we know these folks, we like them. We want to be a part of their success. So we really want to take extra special care to make sure that we're introducing brands that really are poised to be successful.
I can, again, firsthand attest to that. At one point was one of those brands that FranNet gently said, hey, it's not the right time. And about a year and a half later, it was. And I can tell you firsthand, working with a handful of different networks, that when I receive an introduction from FranNet, it is just a different level of an introduction. And I really appreciate them. So hearing those things from you, it really just attests for what I'm experiencing And like I said, what an amazing responsibility. And I really admire the way that FranNet does business, and I enjoy the partnership and truly am honored. So Leslie, I'm sure you didn't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to work in franchise consulting and specifically FranNet. Can you take us on the journey of how you became a franchise consultant?
I would love to. And it's one of those things that you just fall into. Many of us in franchising didn't raise our hand and say, I'm going to be in the franchising industry. We just finds us in some way. And that was true for me as well. Although FranNet was not my first jaunt in franchising. I was an owner operator of a what is now called a UPS store franchise in Atlanta. Back in the 90s, our brand was called Mailboxes, et cetera, and packaging, shipping, business services, mailbox rent. And we were, back in the 90s, a very well-established global brand to where UPS acquired the whole North American organization about 20 years ago, and that was their immediate retail strategy. And so I had my own business, and I was successful with it. I actually acquired a franchisee struggling business who really just needed to get out. So the plane was already in flight, and I was in my mid-20s when I did that and didn't know a whole lot about business. My father had been in the franchising world prior to that, and I'd worked in some of those businesses in photo finishing, in sign production. Our family had a sign production business that ultimately became a part of a national sign network. And I did very well with that. And I ultimately sold that business and I became a part of the mailbox's local support network. And I was a hired arm that would come in and help other franchisees with different issues in their business, opening new locations, hiring and training managers, marketing. And I really learned then that the coaching part was my sweet spot, helping other people be successful with their business. And then I think it was just stars aligning. The FranNet organization was largely a West Coast company at that point in the late 90s. And they were looking for strong East Coast presence. They're looking to grow. And they got introduced to me and my father. And here I am 24 years later, almost.
Yeah. And you said you and your father. So it sounds like you and your father were in business together.
Yes, we started our FranNet business together in late 1999, just in time for the dot-com bust, and 9/11, not shortly after. And I know we'll talk a little bit about that. And then we enjoyed a great ride together as a family business. He did retire a few years ago and I took it over, and it's really been working with family is great. It's every day is not, there were some challenging points working with family, but by and large, we really had balanced skill sets. I was good at some things, he was good at other things. And we figured that out, how to divide our responsibilities so that I had my areas of authority and he had his areas of authority. And we figured it out all along the way.
Yeah, I have aspirations for my kiddos to get into business. And oh my gosh, I would love if they followed suit in franchising, but never know. But I have four higher odds, I guess you could
say.
Those
are good odds. That's right. That's right.
You had mentioned something that I think is really unique. And you said that you had taken over a location with mailboxes, et cetera, that was underperforming. I would like to know, what gave you a sense of comfort and confidence in taking over a location? I'm just thinking about being in your shoes. And that to me seems concerning, or at least has some red flags. I'm thinking, if that's a struggling location, why wouldn't it continue to be a struggling location? And what were some of your thoughts and how did you process and become confident in taking over a location that was struggling?
To give you some context for that, Nick, I was in my mid-20s. I didn't know what I didn't know, and I didn't have anything to lose. So I was just like, sure, I'll do this. But if you think about it, that was that naive? Yes. But I didn't come into it with all these preconceived notions and baggage. And I went to franchise training, just like anybody else would. And they taught me how to run the business. There was someone that was available to help me every day. And believe me, I called them every single day for help. It really points to the strength of a strong franchise system where they not only taught me how to run that business and how to turn around a struggling location, they taught me how to run my own business. So I don't know that I knew it at the time, but I was learning lessons from their systems that would benefit me moving forward in any other business venture that I would go into. Again, I don't know that I intentionally knew that at the time, but it worked out well because of the power of a strong franchise system and all that goes along with it. Now, fast forward to today, when I know a lot more, and when I'm helping people explore different opportunities in franchising, sometimes we're looking at a franchise resale. And those questions naturally do come up. And I think there's, you know, there's different ways to look at it, but I think it would be short-sighted to think that it's a struggling business, got to be something really wrong with it, some skeleton in the closet. Just happen in people's lives. They get sick, they get divorced, they just get burned out. And that can pose a real opportunity for somebody else to come in and take a business where there may already be customers, marketing has already been done to some degree in the marketplace that you can capitalize on. You need to ask your questions and you need to understand what you're going to need to fix and what you're going to need to invest to grow that going concern. But I wouldn't automatically think it's a problem. I would see it as an opportunity.
Yeah, what a unique way to look at that. Thanks for sharing that. And there is something powerful about being naive. I often reflect on my own story. And I think just the head down, execute, just do it mentality that I've had. I grew up as a gym rat and playing sports. And my parents had to put me in 3 sports to keep me from tearing the house apart. And just that, just personally for me, that approach of just do it has really paid off. And I haven't necessarily led with needing to be methodical and master and understand and overthink, rather just focus on the behavior. That's really just paid off dividends. And something incredibly special about that in business, really being able to dictate the outcome and create something from nothing and really create your vision. And as you're talking, Leslie, I can just see a sense of a vision that you had and that vision was driving you. And yeah, so a strong model and a strong business with mailboxes, et cetera, ultimately gave you that playbook to do just that, execute on. And for you, as you said, that naive approach really kept maybe fear from stealing an opportunity from you. And ultimately, my gosh, you were able to eventually start coaching the business. So not only turn that location around, but start coaching others in the business. Ah, I commend you for that. I really love hearing that. Entrepreneurialism, the American dream, it's all encompassing of franchising. Why do you love franchising so much?
Oh gosh, I'm still as enthusiastic about it today as I was when I was in my early 20s. And I think it's just such a powerful vehicle for someone to become an entrepreneur when they otherwise might not. A lot of people who are drawn to franchising are first-time business owners, and they've got a good head on their shoulders. Like I had a good head on my shoulders. It's like, you've got talents, but it's like, first of all, I don't have the idea. Like I'm a good executor, but I'm not like the super creative risk taker who's going to go out and create my own widget and grow that business. So I just think it's this great opportunity that provides some structure. Like we talked about before, the playbook, the ability to do some due diligence so that you've got a good feeling for what you can expect if you execute ABC behaviors. So there's an ability to, I mean, there's no real crystal ball in this, but franchising is the closest thing that I've encountered in my entrepreneurial journey to have a pretty reasonably clear expectation of what your outcome will be if you execute 1, 2, 3, according to the playbook that you buy with franchises. So it creates accessibility and it creates a level of predictability for people to realize their dream of having more freedom, more control, more wealth for their family that they otherwise might not without franchising as a entrepreneurial pathway.
Yeah, I would assume that that alternative is working for somebody else and or maybe a corporate job. And I can't personally relate, but having that want to take their destiny, their future into their own hands and truly create an asset and have all the benefits of entrepreneurialism without that I call it the crazy entrepreneur, right? The startup entrepreneur without that crazy entrepreneur risk, which I can relate to. And again, that naive for me, that's where I look back on my career and creating that widget from scratch and really taking a lot of those arrows in the back and proving out the business model. That was painful and it took resources and losing to competitors and not living up to par to customers and having gaps in the model that ultimately cost real dollars. But seeing those failures, those shortcomings turn into really systems that prevent that from continuing to happen, that as you're talking around this system, this playbook, yeah, franchising allows, as you mentioned, that the upside of entrepreneurialism without that incredible amount of risk of creating something from scratch, which requires a tremendous amount of more time and resources and unknown when you're starting as a startup. And personally, I can tell you, before I even started franchising is about 12 years. And about 10 of those years were very intentional with designing systems and processes and rolling out new services and trial and error and really building the process, the training, the framework. And my goodness, you've had the opportunity to see that with different brands, right? Mailboxes, et cetera. And so I was curious if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about being a multi-brand franchise owner. I think about just considering franchise ownership. And then, my gosh, you not only joined a franchise, but turned it around, became a coach and successfully exited and joined another franchise business. What has it been like being a multi-brand franchise owner?
Yeah, yes. And I'm going to answer your question, Nick, but I want to say something more that I think is really important about what you were sharing about your entrepreneurial journey and taking, you said 10 or 12 years of really building your business out. And it's important to think about the value of money, but I think it's equally, maybe even more important to think about the value of time in entrepreneurship. And what I'm hearing from you is you spent 10 years making mistakes and building that into what you now offer to your franchisees. And I think knowing what not to do is equally valuable than knowing what to do. And being able to transfer that knowledge of, hey, you don't need to go out and do this. You don't need to go out and spend money here. We've already done that across our business history. So we really refined, this is the best way to grow your business. And that I think there's enormous value in the ability to shortcut the learning curve. You know, you had a 10, 12 year learning curve, whereas your franchisees are going to be able to shrink their success curve down enormously because you've packaged what to do, but what not to do. And that's powerful. So congratulations.
Yeah, I often will hear a question like, hey, where is there a struggle in the business? Or what's the pain point? Or where are the shortcomings? Or where do you notice franchise owners not doing so well? And it always goes back to a little bit too much entrepreneurialism and getting away from what makes the model. This piece, I will execute on them. But this piece, I'll change a little bit. There are so many aspects of a franchise model that come together and make for a competitive business in the market, because that's what you're doing, you're competing. And so those nuanced details matter. And so truly executing and being disciplined about the model, starting there and getting good at the rhythms of the business. And then innovation comes, of course, from that mastery. But yeah, I always advise and coach anybody that is considering franchise owner to really sell out to the business, to the model, and to have that faith and trust in the support, training, the playbook. And that's not easy because you are capturing your entrepreneurial spirit. That is the muscle that grows as a franchise owner, as a great franchise owner, is balancing everything that you get from a business, the independence, the freedom, but also committing to the system. We've talked about corporate America and leaving what might have been a previous life or something that you don't enjoy about your current career path for entrepreneurialism. That seems like so much freedom, but the real art of franchising is committing to that business model that has been exercised and those shortcomings have been brought out and that playbook is clear. So yeah, anyways, you were going to share a little bit about your experience of going from not just one brand, another brand. And I definitely appreciate that. And I just think about considering one, let alone successfully exiting one and getting into another business.
I would love to share about that. And going back to the mailboxes, et cetera, being my first experience as a business owner. And again, I was naive. I was done with college. I didn't want to go work in the corporate world like all my friends were. I'd been exposed to entrepreneurship and my dad helped me find that opportunity. And it was like, it's just there. So there wasn't a whole lot of intentionality on my part. It worked out really well, fortunately, but I learned a lot about myself in that first business. So I learned a lot more about my strengths and weaknesses. I learned about what I naturally enjoy doing. And it really helped me to see that that was not a long-term good fit for me. It was a retail environment and the same people came in every day to get their mail. And it was frankly, for me, it was a boring business. It was a good business, but it was a boring business. I'm a mover and a shaker and I like to get out in the community and meet new people all the time. And so it really helped me to crystallize what I did and didn't want in my next venture. It taught me how to run a business. So what I learned from the first business absolutely has carried me. I still utilize things that I learned about marketing in my mailboxes, et cetera, training in 1997. The knowledge, it continues on. It's not like it's this one franchise and it's its own separate thing. And now you're completely starting all over with your next business. It's not like that. You carry forward what you learn and it helps you become even more successful faster in your next venture. Any of that, people who get a taste of entrepreneurship through franchising and they like it and they understand the value, they do tend to do more than just one type of business.
And how long were you with mailboxes, et cetera?
It was about 5 years, owning my business and then coaching other franchisees.
That's a long stint. Yeah, I can see that, executing, mastering the business, and then being able to coach it. How long have you been with FranNet?
It'll be 24 years. And
oh my goodness.
So I was kind of phasing FranNet in as I was wrapping up my mailboxes days back in the late 90s there.
That's incredible. That's almost 30 years of neural experience.
Don't remind me, Nick. I'm proud of you, though.
Absolutely. My gosh, what came to my mind was I've experienced in my 14 years, I started my career in 2008, middle of the Great Recession, and we had 7 locations in August of 2020. And 2020 was the year to expand. And so in January, we were lining up to do just that. And the world shut down in March and is global pandemic. And shortly after that was social unrest and so much going on with the world and so much change. In between that Great Recession and the pandemic, we ended up growing in both. I started my career in a recession and I really started our expansion effort in a pandemic and when the world was shut down. So I've personally experienced incredible growth during those changes. And in between that was a boom. And for you, you've clearly been through some economic changes, whether it's booms or recessions. Can you share with us, our audience, help them level up around just some of your experiences from economic changes?
Yes. And I actually think this is a really important topic for entrepreneurs, future entrepreneurs, aspiring franchisees to really in their mindset about this topic. We started our business right on the cusp of the dot-com bust, which was followed not long after by 9/11 when the world shut down. And then there was a strong ride and then the Great Recession and then a really strong ride and then COVID and now the Great Resignation that we're experiencing. And who knows what's going to happen next? At the very beginning, we were just starting our business. We've burned the bridge. We're all in. We've committed to this. We're not going to pull back. And our business is a very marketing driven business. And so we continued, we made the decision that we're going to go full bore here, even though things are going crazy around us, that we've made this commitment. We expect we will be successful. And we pursued with our plan to heavily market and get our business off the ground. Because I was young at this, what I didn't really know at the time was that a lot of our competitors who had been in the business longer, been comfortable, and they pulled back. And so when things started to turn, I'm the one that was out there marketing. And it really benefited me. And I was like, huh, that's, I think, a pretty important lesson. But then you do get comfortable. You get used to business coming to you freely, and you get used to a certain rhythm. And then that snapped away from you with the Great Recession, as an example. And I admit there were times that I had gotten comfortable and I pulled back, and I regret that. Like, in hindsight being the beautiful thing, that was foolish and missed opportunity. And so there have been times where I charged ahead. There have been times when I pulled back. But the times that I charged ahead, hiring more staff, at one time I had multiple salespeople, I had a whole office staff, and that was a great decision. Even though the world seems to be crumbling around us, I've always benefited from making those investments, even though others around me may not have been. I was talking with Meg Roberts, the CEO of another franchise brand, and she's been around the horn a long time. And I love what she said. And I think this is the heart of it, that times of economic change and challenge are the opportunity to assert yourself as the leader. And that rings so true for me. And I think anyone who is thinking about being an entrepreneur, whether it's in franchising or not, if you see yourself being an entrepreneur for 10 plus years, you should just expect there's going to be something. There's going to be a pandemic. There's going to be a housing crash. You should just expect it. It's going to happen, and have a plan for that, and have the mindset of, from that, new needs and new opportunities are going to come forth. And I should have my rainy day fund for my business. We're all told to have that for yourself personally. We should all have a rainy day fund for our business when those immediate shocks to the system happen. But then really have the mindset of, okay, change opens up windows of opportunity. And I think that mindset versus the one of change is happening, so I'm going to pull back, really makes the difference in success or not in entrepreneurship, and certainly in franchising too.
Yeah, you'd mentioned just from your own experience pulling back and seeing competitors pull back, but also people considering business ownership are pulling back. And as you mentioned, creates an opportunity if you execute and you really double down on the behavior. That can be challenging when there's peers and family members and the news and social media echoing the sky is falling, right? Or maybe some stats positioned a certain way to just highlight and emphasize a certain point. And the more you search something, the more you compound that one thought, because search engines are so great at just giving us what we're looking for. And so I always talk about protecting your mind. And when the pandemic hit, we had new owners in their first year. In fact, that was a year where we just had our legacy owners, our first handful of owners. And the first thing that we did was appreciate the fact that we weren't in business by ourselves. We had a lot of empathy and compassion for ma and pa's that were by themselves. And we just leaned into one another and into our family at Lime. And we committed to the behavior and encouraged each other. And everybody had a very successful year. There wasn't anybody that didn't. And looking back on that, there is a real power in the franchise model and the family, the community that is franchising. And personally, I've seen that really ring true as I reflect on, I didn't even mention the Great Resignation, all these different names and titles and themes, and literally the world was shut down. And we had owners that had committed everything to become an owner. And there's a little bit of that naive piece, but also there is a component of, I need to do this, right? I have no other option. And I think you mentioned burn the boats, right? Yeah, that commitment to the only thing that matters, which is the behavior. So the noise and everything else is only going to distract you from that behavior. There is something very powerful about behavior. And I think just the art of being a great business owner, which is no matter what is going on, whatever your personality is, whatever your makeup is, whatever is going on in the world, have that self-awareness to be able to put yourself in a position where you can consistently execute.
Checking your mind, your mindset is, I love how you said that. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, you mentioned naive. I've had so many stints of naive, but that's exactly what it is. No noise. is going to take you away from creating your vision, making your vision come to life. And you can say it's naive, but in those moments where you can't be naive, the sky's falling, that art of protecting your mind is so important. Personally, I just turned off the news. I didn't watch the news at all. I didn't go on social media, and really just committed to the franchise community at Lime and behavior.
And the results, the proof is in the pudding of that behavior decision.
Yeah. Clearly, we're talking about all these different components of entrepreneurialism and franchising and specifically your career. But I would like to hear from you, what makes a successful franchise owner?
That's a great question. And I think it's a unique combination of qualities, Nick. It is your business. Like, the franchise doesn't run the business for you. It gives you the toolbox. And I'm an example of, you don't have to have a lot of even necessarily business acumen behind you already. That can help, but it can also hurt you because you bring your biases into your new business as to how things can be done. So I think there needs to be a degree of, you are taking a risk at the end of the day. So you've got to feel good about that and feel it's a calculated risk. And I think what goes along with that is your own confidence in your ability to figure it out. And I think nobody is good at everything. Nobody has all skill sets. So you want to choose a business where the key skills of the owner are skills that you feel confident that you have some of them, and that you can learn the other things fairly quickly, and that you want to learn and round out your skill sets as a business owner. And the franchise and your fellow franchisees help you to do that. So I think it's this mix, confidence in oneself that they can figure it out and surround themselves with people who can help them, but also humbleness. And as we talked about earlier, don't screw up your first year in business by rejecting the franchise business model that you just bought. And don't waste that compounding effect of having a good first year by following the system. So I think especially very successful people, there are some people who can let their ego get in the way of their success. So it does take consciously eating some humble pie, even though you've been successful before, to really just trust this system, even if you don't fully understand it, or even if there's parts of it that are uncomfortable for you. So there's a mix of, like I said, confidence, humbleness, a little bit of grit as well. Running a business is exciting. It's fun, but not every day is sunshine. There's going to be days when people quit, or they don't show up, or you lose that client to a competitor, and you're like, man, but you've got to just quickly put it behind you and move forward with what you can control and what you can have impact on. And that does take a little bit of grit. It's that unique combination of confidence, grit, and humility, I think, is the special sauce for a franchise.
Well said. Yeah. As you were talking about losing a deal to a competitor or a bad day, I always talk about the simplicity of a good night's sleep. There is a new day. And
the world is a different place. It really is a different place if you are well rested and are taking care of yourself.
Yeah, it's such a simple concept, but there's always a new day. And that is so well said, Leslie. So I was wanting to hear from you a little bit about the Atlanta Small Business Network. Could you share with us, what is that? And what do you do with the Atlanta Small Business Network?
Oh, I love this. I'm very excited about this. This is a fairly newish project for me, but it really goes back to my college education in communication studies, which had a very clear kind of media bent that would have gone down the road of some kind of media, news, journalism, broadcasting kind of career. But I'm very happy that I went the entrepreneurship and franchising route instead. But I'm now coming full circle. So the Atlanta Small Business Network, it's a very special content platform focused on small business. And many of us in cities like Atlanta, we have the Atlanta Business Chronicle. There's the Nashville Business Chronicle. And those news sources really cater to larger businesses. It's all about large commercial real estate deals and the big corporations that employ people in the city. It really is not a voice for the unique needs of small business owners. So the Atlanta Small Business Network was born about 5 years ago. I am a TV show host on it. My show is called Atlanta Franchise Today. but I'm one of several small business focused shows. Bridget Fitzpatrick hosts The Female Founder, there where she interviews female-led companies started by women. We have Launched in Legal. We have several kind of general small business profile, small business news resources. So it is just this wonderful wealth of news, resources, information for any small business owner, franchises included. And so I'm really proud to be one of the show hosts and a part of the project. It's subscription. It's people can subscribe monthly. They can subscribe annually, but it's really, it's pennies for the value that an entrepreneur, an aspiring entrepreneur, anybody looking at franchising can get their hands on the knowledge that they need to be successful.
So you're a host. I did not know that. That's awesome. Can you give an example of one of the shows, something that you would cover that you've talked about?
Yeah, I largely interview franchisee people who many times had never been a business owner before. I recently interviewed a fella who owns a window cleaning franchise very successfully. His interview on my show was his 15-year anniversary of owning his window cleaning franchise. And he just shares his story about, you know, leaving corporate America, what drove him to look to business ownership, what drove him to look to franchising, some of his successes and challenges and in the early years of his business and how he grew it to where he's now a semi-active owner. And now he helps with franchise recruitment for the franchise brand and just his lessons along the way. And that's what people need and want to hear is from people who've done it and to hear about what's good, but also what the challenges are and what they really need to be aware of if they're going to step into franchise business ownership. So my goal as the show host is to give people access to knowledge that they need to make good decisions for themselves before and along their franchise ownership journey.
Ah, said, I can see your heart for franchising and entrepreneurship, and I am a huge fan. And so thank you for everything you do. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for giving this knowledge to our audience.
Thank you, Nick. And likewise, back at you. Thank you for developing and growing this podcast. And you're doing such a wonderful job of providing people in your own brand and other brands, people looking at entrepreneurship with access to people who've done it and information they need to be successful. It takes a lot of work. I know it. It's a lot of work to have a show. And so I applaud you for doing it. And thank you.
You helped me level up today. If others want to level up with you, Leslie, how can they get in touch with you?
I'm on LinkedIn all day, every day for my business. So I think I'm the only Leslie Cuban out there. Leslie with a K or Cuban with a K. That's the main hub of how I interact and find people online. So just look me up on LinkedIn and connect with me there.
Yeah, you heard it. The only Leslie Cuban. Google it. I'm sure you'll find plenty of great content on Leslie. Check out the Atlanta Small Business Network. Clearly, you're going to find helpful information from other franchise owners. And what an amazing from there that you're giving franchise owners. So yeah, if you have benefited from this show today, please, but more importantly, please comment, contribute to the conversation. Let us know some of your thoughts about what makes a successful franchise owner, Leslie's journey as an entrepreneur. And yeah, let us know your thoughts about the Atlanta Small Business Network. And please subscribe to the Level Up with Nick Lopez show. And as always, level up.